I want to preach to you today. Here's the title, John. What makes a church great? I had no idea you were going to talk about churches being great. And he never knows what I'm going to preach. I don't know what he's going to preach. We just come up, we show up, and we just let it fly. Amen. Brother Tommy, I didn't know you were going to be here, and I planned on preaching. Now I'm locked in. I'm not going to give it up. I love you, but I'm preaching today. I didn't know you were going to be here, my brother. But Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 through 18. Let's stand for the reading of God's word. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 through 18. Mel and Lonnie, I used to think your one boy, Jordan, was real strong. I'm going to tell you, Jemuel is really strong. And what a worker. Man, that kid works. We had the last few days, those kids are out there working. All these young people, thank you, all you young people working. And we had some real heavy stuff. Bobby Shell's a superman. That guy can pick up 500 pounds, but... he's an incredible hawk. Him and Andrew, between him and Andrew, I think I could almost pick up a tank, you know. And then, some of these other boys surprised me with their strength. Unbelievable. And we had a lot of work. There was a lot of work done this week. And I want to thank the young and the old for coming out and working. Brother Jack, I wish I had got a picture of you and those other older guys jumping on that swing set trying to pull it down. And I'll tell you, and Joshy and all that. Man, I tell you, we had Joshy pulling out with that Explorer. He's pulling this stuff, and we were snapping ropes and all kinds of stuff. But we had fun. We had plenty of Pepsi and water, so, you know, and pizza. Amen. That's all that matters. Amen. We had a good time. All righty. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 through 18. What makes a church great? You know, we're talking about building a church, and I'm going to tell you right now, a church is not brick and mortar. It's not a building. It's God's born-again people that meet together here. And look at verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But whom say ye that I am?" By the way, if he was asked you that question, what would you say about Jesus? And Simon Peter answered verse 16 and said, "Christ, the Son of the living God." Can anyone say amen? Amen. I did remember what I was supposed to say. The jail ministry is this Tuesday. I knew there was one other item. The jail ministry Tuesday, and you need to sign up if you want to be in the jail. So look at the paper in the back. Notice what verse 16 says. And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Can anyone say amen? Amen. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood had not revealed it unto thee." You know what? He's telling the truth. Most people, they can say, "Yeah, Jesus is a good man." But it takes the Spirit of God to show you who Christ really is. "Flesh and blood had not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven." Now look at verse 18. "I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time that we can meet to hear the word of God. Help us to, Father, help me and fill me, Holy Ghost, fill me. Go up and down the aisles and speak to everyone's heart. Father, give me utterance to preach your glorious word. And Lord, fill my mind with everything I'm supposed to say today. Blot out anything I'm not supposed to say. And Father, I pray if anyone's here that doesn't know you as Savior, that today would be a day they would trust Christ. And Lord, also I pray that Christians would be, their heart would be lifted up to you. Again, we think about Mary McDaniel. Lord, please, we just hold Mary up to you. Touch her and bless her. And Lord, give her longevity. Let her stay here more years with us. Stay that cancer in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I pray you help Debbie Sable. God, heal Debbie up, we pray. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I'm excited about our new building. I'm excited about raising money up for that new building. I was glad to get our picture in the paper. Did you see all those smiles? Even preacher had a smile on his face. When you bring money in, it makes me smile. Brother Tommy knows about preachers. When people bring money in for God's work, look at all, you can tell the preacher, they're awesome deacons. They're, yeah, amen. It's like Sugar Crisp, you know, it's good stuff. Cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, you know, and stuff like that. And Billy gave me that name. But anyways, we need to be praying for that. Be praying for $250,000 as seed money. And then after we get that seed money, I'm praying that at the same time, this church building will sell. We got them both together because we need to sell this building, because that money's going to be applied. Even with the grant money, we're still going to need extra money. The grant money's not going to pay for all of what we're going to need. And so it'll help us, but it won't be all of it. And so we need to be praying for that. Today I want us to look at the scriptures and see what God's holy word says about what makes a great church. Now, what I did, I knew we were going to have a lot of different things today. And what I did is I planned to make this a two-part message. So I'll quit at 12 o'clock. I'm hoping to have three this morning, three and three tonight, three thoughts, six thoughts, amen, and whatever I add, amen. But I want to show you, we're talking about having a great church. What makes a church great? What makes a church great? I'm going to tell you what most people think is not right. I'm going to show you from the Word of God what God says makes churches great. It's not the size of a building. It's not the number of people. You can have a great church and just have a handful of people. How many want Bethel Baptist to be a great church for God? When you say great church, most people think large buildings. They think prestigious places, large congregation, lots of money, famous pastor. You'll never get that here till I'm gone. But by the way, there's some large churches over in Akron. I'm not going to bring them up, but one was brought up, and I don't think that's a great church. Have the truth of the Word of God. So don't just because of the sizes of church, don't make them right or wrong. I thank God there are some great huge churches that are right for God. But not all, just don't put everything in a category, well, they're a big church, so they got to be right with God. For instance, all these, I hold your hand there, but I'm going to read to you from one scripture from Revelation chapter 3, verse 14 through 17. I'm coming back to Matthew. But just to show you that all rich churches and all big churches aren't of God. And God told the Laodicean church that they weren't great. They just thought they were. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 14, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, write these things, saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness and beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increase with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that. And you, it's just because you think you're big, and you got the big plush buildings, and you think you're, he said, look, he says, you're wretched, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable, poor and blind and naked. God said, you make me want to puke. I hope God never says that about Bethel. So what I'm trying to say to you, I'm going to talk to you about what makes a church great today. I'm going to give you a biblical truth of the scripture, the King James Bible. And that's the only Bible there is. and that's truth. And so today I want to show you from the scripture. So number one, what makes a church great? First of all, I believe, if you look at verse 18 of Matthew 16, and I say, Jesus said, I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Jesus builds the church. What makes a church great? If the church is to be great, a great church, the founder of the church must be right. You must have the right founder for the church. Jesus said, I will build my church. In other words, if you got a man for a founder of the church, that church will never be right. Because Jesus is the founder of the church. Jesus founded our church. The church didn't start at Pentecost. No, it was empowered at Pentecost. Jesus started the church when he was on this earth. Jesus Christ started the local Baptist church when he was on this earth, while he walked on this earth. Right there. That's the start of it. If a man, I noted this, a great church will not be man-made, but a great church will be God-made. Because Jesus was God, and he's the founder of the local church. Can anyone say amen? If Jesus is not the founder of the and foundation of the church, then the church will not be right. Let me read you a couple of scriptures. 1 Corinthians 3:11, for other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Ephesians 5:23, for as the husband is head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church, for he's the Savior of the body. So I'm going to tell you, Brother Mark, I'm glad I'm on my way for having a great church here, because Jesus, Brother Eddie, is the foundation and the head of our church. By the way, I noted this just for to put you in on something. All churches, all cults, and false religions that have man as a founder are false, and they'll never be great for God. Let me give you an illustration. The Jehovah Witness, they say they're witnesses for Jehovah. The name Jehovah means God, Lord. Are you with me? They're not going to ever be great for God. Because their founder is? It's Russell Taz. How many are with me? Charles Taz Russell. The founder of the Jehovah Witnesses, Charles Taz Russell. By the way, he didn't believe there was a hell. Man, he had a rude awakening, didn't he? That's why he started. Every man-made church, for instance, the Church of the Latter-day Saints, which they ain't. Because Joseph Smith is their founder. Every time you check the history out, every time you got a religion or a cult or a church that starts and they have a man-made founder, don't get in that church. You're in the wrong church right to start with. They'll never be great because it isn't. If you're not founded on Christ, you can't be great. Because all the greatness stems from Christ. Number two, a great church will have the power of God upon it. A great church is a spirit-filled church. Listen to me. You can have huge buildings and thousands of people, but if the power of the Holy Spirit is not present, then it's spiritually dead. Let me read to you. I'm going to read to you in Revelation chapter 3, in verse 1, what God said to Sardis. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he unto the seven spirits of God, the seven stars, I know thy works. Thou hast a name, and that thou livest and art dead. Yeah, he said, you know what? Eddie, there's a lot of churches that are huge today. Multi-million buildings, thousands of people. Yet Christ is never honored, never glorified. And the name of Christ is never preached. And thousands of people come. They come lost and they leave lost. I'm going to tell you right now, no power of God in there. God never shows up. God, the place does not have the dwelling of the Lord. I'm going to tell you right now, a church that's really a great church for God will have the presence of the Holy Spirit. When people come to Bethel, you know what I want to hear? Man, I felt God speak to my heart today. Man, I've had people tell me, man, I could feel the presence of God. I could, like I was telling Brother Mike and Katie last week, they were on vacation. I said, last Sunday, Last Sunday, I'm going to tell you right now, God came down here to this church, and God squeezed this church, and the presence of God was magnified here last week. You can, anybody who was here knows what I'm talking about. You can sense God's presence. And listen, big buildings don't impress God. Big buildings may impress people, but they don't impress God. Not necessarily. And being busy might impress people. But our busyness doesn't always impress God. I've been really looking at my life lately. Sometimes we think we're busy, but what we're being busy for, is it the best to be busy for? Does that make sense to anybody? And I'll tell you what I'm doing. I'm trying to focus on my major role and what's the most important for me, and most important thing to me as a pastor, is I'm going to study the Word, be in the Word, preach the Word, pray, and I'm going to focus on that and focus on the people's lives. And I'm going to tell you, a lot of other things, you know, I'll let the other people do, because I've got to focus on what I know is most important for me and what's most important for you. Amen? I know soul winning is important to God. And getting the Word out is getting important to God. Listen, Acts 4:33. By the way, I put this note. It's a sad day when churches play more than they pray. It's a sad day when churches play more than they pray. And that's going. And that's the average church day, including Baptist churches. We play more than we pray. We need to get on our knees more, because I think that's essential for seeing the greatness of God. Amen? Acts 4:33 says, "And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ." Great power gave the apostles witness, Acts 4:33, of the resurrection of the Lord. That's what God wants. You want to see power? You talk about the resurrection, man. We got a real Savior, a risen Savior. I got this badge. Me and Mike wear them all the time. The church on the rise for a risen and returning Savior. I'm going to tell you right now, how many believe he's risen? How many believe he's real? How many believe he's returning? How many believe he's reigning? I'm going to tell you, you know what? We ought to go out with a passion every day sharing that with somebody about our real, risen, reigning, returning Savior. Acts 2:4 says, "And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost." Listen, great churches have people within them that know Christ as their Savior and the power of his resurrection. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians 3:10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. And folks, I'm going to tell you, I need it, and you need to know that resurrected power. Brother Mark, the most important thing we can have, I think you do a phenomenal job. I'll tell you, Brother Mark Thompson does a phenomenal job leading this choir. And I think the choir does a phenomenal job singing. But you know what? As great as you folks do, without the power of God, it's void. It would mean nothing. See, here's the thing. When Mark gets up and leads you and you sing, if it doesn't have the power of God, it'll be like sounding cymbals and some, but nothing behind it. What I want is when you sing, the power of God so powerful that men and hearts, women, their hearts say, "Wow, yes, it is all Christ." We need to draw nigh to God and near to God. Let him fill us with the Holy Spirit. You know what? That's the most, you know what, folks? When the moment you get saved, you get the Holy Spirit. The Bible says we're sealed until the day of redemption. The very moment you trust Christ, you get the Holy Spirit. But I'm going to tell you, we need to let him fill us. We need that anointing. We need that supernatural power that God talks about. So when we pray and we witness that men's hearts move and we can see God's hand move, it's like God speaking through us, not us speaking, but God speaking through us. We need to stand before I thought about Moses. We need to stand before that burning bush like Moses did and let the fire of God warm our souls. Did you ever notice that burning bush? That fire warmed his soul. By the way, did you ever notice something about that burning bush and everything like it? God always speaks to someone before he sends them to do something. The reason a lot of people never do anything, they never get close to the burning bush for God to speak to them. Let me read to you. Exodus 3:4, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, "Moses, Moses." And he said, Here am I. I'm going to tell you right now, we need to get close to God so God's warmth will warm our soul and spirit, and that we would say, "God, I speak, Lord, speak." I thought about Eli the priest when God kept speaking to Samuel. Remember the young prophet said, and he kept saying, "What do you want, Eli?" And finally Eli said, "Oh, it's God speaking." You know what Eli told the prophet Samuel said? He said, "Go back and say these words. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." You know what we need to do today, Bethel Baptist? We need to be on our knees and say, "Oh God, oh God, oh God, speak. Speak to me, God. Speak from heaven. Let me hear from heaven. Oh God, come down. Anoint me. Help me, Father. Help me, help me. Help me to know you well. Help me to walk with you well. Help me to speak for you well. Oh God, fill me so I can know what you want." That's what we need. Psalms 46:10. "Be still," God says, "and know I'm God." You know what? I'm going to tell you something. It's important that we stand still. We're running around so much, we don't even know God. I was talking to that boy, that young boy that came here from Bible college. He said, "Man, I just feel like I'm getting away from God." I said, "You know, Bible college is the best place to backslide on God. Because it really is. Because you get so busy, you forget the basics of praying and reading your Bible and really studying and seeking God. All you care about is passing the test and trying to keep up with your teachers and doing all the exterior reading all them books and everything they give you to have. Amen? Those commentaries and those biographies. Yeah. I said, "What makes a church great? Having the right founder of the church, Jesus." I said, "Number two, what makes the church great? Having the power of God present in the church." A great preacher once said, "Our efficiency without his sufficiency is only a deficiency." Our efficiency without his sufficiency is only a deficiency. And that's the truth. If we don't look, we can do everything you want in this church. I can do everything you want. But if we don't have the power of God, deacons, missionaries, if we don't have the power of God, we don't have nothing. We must have the power of God upon us to do his work. Number three, and that's the last one I'll do, and then this for this morning. And I'm going to do part two tonight. A great church will have witnessing power. In Acts 1:8, it says, "And you shall be witnesses unto me." The apostle knew Jesus was risen from the dead. They knew of his resurrection. And by the way, not only did they know it, Brian, they were excited about it. And the apostles went everywhere, telling everyone and everywhere they were about their risen Savior. Peter preached on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2:32. "This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses." Acts 4:33, "And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ." Acts 17:18, "He preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection." You know what, Tommy? Let people call us shallow. The greatest thing you can preach on is the resurrection. We want to soft soap everything. I'm going to tell you, you let people know about the resurrection, because you Sunday school teachers, don't be afraid to teach that resurrection all the time. Once a year people get excited about Easter. It's Easter every day for Christians. We've got a risen Savior every day. "I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living. I don't care what Madeline Merrill has to say." Amen? He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks to me. Listen, I was on the boat. I told you about, we were out there with Dr. Anderson, the millionaire, fishing, and we were looking at the sunset, and I said, what a great creator. And I said, yeah, you know, I know he's alive, too. The captain looked at me, I said, yeah. He said, yeah. I said, yeah, I talked to him today. He's alive and well. We need, you know what, folks? We need to get excited about the resurrection. Listen to me. The church was great because that book in the Church of Acts was great because everyone went everywhere telling people about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. When's the last time you told someone about the risen Savior? We need to come out every day. By the way, you ought to take some tracks. Get some tracks. And I just put the suit on. I'm a track. I believe in tracks. I have tracks. I'm constantly passing tracks out. I went to Aussie's baseball game the other day, and when the game was over, I had a stack of tracks. I gave every person a track till I ran out of tracks. I believe in tracks. We were when my brother Sales had that surprise graduation party out there at the Wacko out there in Cuyahoga Falls. I can't think of the guy's name. Ernest Ainsley. Yeah, he's got a direct line to his wife. Anyways, she's in the grave. Talks to her every day. Okay. Went in the bathroom, and I think it was Jordan, somebody got there for me. There was some Got Life tracks sitting in. I was getting ready to put some out. Now I said, oh, man, they already beat me. Someone put him in the, he had tracks for a sell for a dollar. We just gave him free ones, got life. Put him in there, all kinds of got lives in there. Because people, see, really, eternal salvation is not for sale. It's free. And so, man, I'm telling you right now, we ought to be excited. You know, when we see Jesus, we're going to say, man, I should have got a little more excited than what I did. Now, I know I'm an extrovert. I know that not everybody can be a knucklehead like me. I know that. But everybody could be something. Everybody could do something. If you're saved, you're a child of God. You've got the Holy Spirit crying inside, Abba, Father. You've got the Abba, Father in you. Hello? And if you've got Abba, Father in you, then there's got to be a heartbeat in you saying, man, I know God wants that person to hear about Jesus. We were coming down the elevator, and we both felt bad over there in Cleveland, Ohio, in the Lerner Tower, and this Jewish priest. And I felt bad because I didn't witness to him. And I want to say, if you could tell, he was in a hurry. Little beanie, he was ready to go. And boy, I'd love to talk to him. I could take time to talk to him. But I could tell he was really not wanting to mess with a Baptist preacher that day. But I wanted to say to him, hey, did you hear about the Messiah? He's coming. Boy, that moment that door opened, he was gone. Man, I mean, he was. And Dave said, I wish I could have given him a track. I said, man, what we do is run him down. But, we ought to have a heart for everyone. Hello? Every person, no matter who they are, we ought to have a heart for them. Because God wants everyone saved. Amen? And I used this, Brother Mike, I used your illustration last week. And we, Brother Mike, on the census, he wrote, what race are you? And he said, human. I love that. I'm going to use that from now on. We were up in Akron General Hospital this week with Diane Robinson and her husband, Dale, and the doctor said to her, what race are you? And I said, human. He said to Diane, what race are you? I said, I told you she was human. He said, ma'am, would you tell me what race you are? What a knucklehead. We are all human. And you look at Acts chapter 17 around verse 26 somewhere in there. I don't have the verse in front of me. It's Acts 17. It says we're all one blood. I don't care who you are. We all go back to Adam. All our blood. You can do your ancestry.com all you want. And you might have a few generations from different countries, but when at the end, you're going to get all the way back to the flood. And then you're going to come up with Noah and his wife and Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And then all them, they all, but then you go before the flood. And you know what you're going to find? You're going to find Adam. Adam and Eve. Aren't you glad it wasn't Adam and Steve? I got to close that door because you'll be watching there. Look up here. God shed his blood for all man. And God doesn't love any race more than he loves anyone else. The white race is not a superior race. The black race is not a superior race. The Indian race, no, they're all the same to God. He shed his blood for all man. And by the way, we're all human. Unless you're from Mars or Venus. Hello? I'm thinking about bringing another, I'm going to bring a message on that. Human. I think I'm going to bring a message on that. I really am. I'm going to show you in the Bible what's human and what's not human. Because there's animals. Hello? They're not human. There's seraphims. You ever think? It's another message. Mike, you really started something with me. Boy, I'm tearing them up at the hospitals now. Human, human, human. We're human. We are human. Did you know God died for all humans? You see, the song's got it right. Red and yellow, black and white, they're all special and precious in God's sight. The church was great because everyone was telling people about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We need people to come out on Saturday at 11 o'clock. Next Saturday, I need some people to come out. This summer, I want to hit every home in Ravenna. If we can get that done, then I want to go to Streetsboro, and I want to go to Wyndham. I want to go to Garrettsville. I want to go to Kent. I'm just going to keep on going with the gospel. Look up here, folks. I want to tell everyone I can meet in this surrounding area that Jesus Christ is alive. And he loves them and he died for them. You know what? That's what made, you want to have a great church? A great church goes out and tells people about the gospel that Christ is and the resurrection that Christ has risen. And he loves them. Can anyone say amen? Bethel, we need to be excited about our Savior. He's risen, he's alive, and he's coming. Can anyone say amen? I'm going to close in just 1 minute. Someone said, if your life doesn't measure up to your lip, then you're a little more than a spiritual drip. I like that. I didn't say this. I just wrote it down. Someone said, if your life doesn't measure up to your lip, then you are little more than a spiritual drip. Which made me think of a scripture. You know, God wants us to see people of his church. He wants to see his church proclaiming his word. And I'm glad he left us his word, preserved, inspired for all time. And he wants us to preserve, he wants to go to a lost world proclaiming his resurrection with rivers of living water. I thought, when I read that little spiritual drip, I thought, I want you, just turn with me this one scripture here. In John chapter 7, I'm closing. I'm getting really near the end. John 7:38. I can quote the scripture, but I want you to see it. I learned it years ago when I was going to Bible college back in the 70s. Dr. John Brook taught me this truth of this scripture. The Bible says in John 7:38, he that believeth on me, as the scripture, it's always a scripture, Pastor Dave. You can't get by that scripture. People, by the way, you ought to be glad you got the pure word of God, because you can't get saved without it. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And he sings a song, there's a river that flows from deep within. There is a river. You've heard her sing it. Great song, amen? God says, we're supposed to be like that. Lizzie, when we go places, we ought to be a flowing river of God's Holy Spirit working through us, quoting Scripture and quoting the love of God and sharing the resurrection and reaching out with the grace of God. That's everywhere we go, they ought to see a flowingness of God's love and mercy and grace. It ought to be like a river just flowing from us. How much does it flow from us? The reason it doesn't flow is because we don't have it in it to flow. If we put it in, it can flow. We don't ever read this Bible. We don't study it. We don't memorize it. You know what I'm so thankful for? As you get older, you young people, listen to me. As you get older, sometimes your memory doesn't work as quick and good. A lot of times, I have to write down what I'm doing because I forget. I'll walk upstairs and say, I know I'm here for a reason. How many of you ever went in a room and say, I came in here for something? The only room I know that is the bathroom. I know I'm always known for that, especially at nighttime. I never forget that. I know why I'm there. Hello? Can I get you back now? I'm back to the living. But I'm so glad that when I was a young kid, after I got saved, I couldn't get enough scripture. I couldn't study the Bible enough. I couldn't learn enough. And as a young man, I put a lot of Bible scriptures in my heart. I just memorized scripture. And every time, even though I was thinking of scripture, I'd still look it up and I'd read it, just so I could memorize it more and more and more. And one day I told Dave, I said, boy, I'm forgetting. He said, yeah, but you're not forgetting the scriptures. If you'll notice, I might forget your name sometimes, but usually I can come up with a scripture. Like right now, I'm still preaching, ain't I? Haven't forgot that yet. It's amazing how God's word will stay in you. I'm blessed today. Bobby was praying with us. He said, God, me and my wife read your Bible at least 2 or 3 times a day. Amen. Putting the scripture in his heart. Yep. You want to keep your mind pure? You want to keep your mind sharp? You want to keep your heart good? Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed to thy word thereto. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Psalms 119, verse 9 through 11. I'm going to tell you right now, ladies and gentlemen, what we need more than anything, we need to engraft God's word into our heart. And then, Brian, just like you turn the faucet at your house, that water rushes out. You just need to go somewhere. And if you've got a lot of reservoir of God's word, you can just let it flow like rivers from his belly, innermost being, out of your belly shall flow rivers. Innermost being, you shall flow rivers of living water. That's what people need today. They need to hear rivers of living water. And we got it. We that are saved, we got it. Amen. I close with this thought. I like the thought that Phil Howard always tries to give a little charge every Saturday we meet before we go on visitation. So when Brother Phil always tries to give us a little charge, from the scripture. And yesterday he brought a little machine gun, like a cap gun, it was a toy. I think it was a toy. Was that a toy? Oh, it's a paint gun. Oh, okay. It looked like a machine gun. It lets you look like a machine gun. You aim with kick, 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 you know? And he made me think of hunting because he brought out a great truth. He said, it's good that we do what the Bible says about going sowing with tears. over in Psalms 126, bearing precious seed, verse 5 and 6. But he said, and we should always try to do mass evangelism. We should always try to get the word out no matter where we go, and I think that's good. But he said, don't just stop there, though. We ought to have a single person. We ought to focus, not just along with our mass evangelism, we ought to be focused on one person. We ought to be praying for one person at a time and fasting for one person and begging God for this one person. Just, and I thought about Andrew, how Andrew just went to Peter's brother. John 1:41 says, and Andrew went to his brother Peter. He just focused on Peter. And God wants us to spread the word out and to put out as much as we can, and that's good. But then he says, and not only do that, but he said, focus on one. And pray and fast till that one gets saved, then go to the next. And I thought about what a great truth, because how many of you have ever hunted? Anyone hunts here? Not many. Well, I've been a hunter. I've hunted since I've been a little boy. My dad was an avid hunter and an avid fisherman. So I did a lot of that with my dad. And let me just give you young people, if you ever go hunting, a clue. If you go up and you see a flock of geese go up in front of you, the average person will say, what we call flock shooting. And you go boom, 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 and you just shoot in the air because there's so many. You think, well, I can just get them because I can just boom, 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 not even aim, just boom, 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 and what they call flock shooting. Most time when you flock shoot, you don't get hardly anything. But we've learned when a flock goes up, there's just a single out and focus on one. Bam. And then leave that one and focus on another one. Bam. And leave that one and focus on, bam. And we've learned when we hunted that even when a flock comes up, you can still take two or three out of that flock. But the key is just to focus. Don't get distracted with all of them going, because you won't get any of them. Many times you won't get nothing. But your percentages of just focusing on one, bam, and then bam, and then bam. You might get and you only got three shots in geese because you only got three shells in your gun. Legally, you only got three, and that's all we ever had, three. But when you focus on one, your chances of hitting it are a lot better than just haphazard hope you get some. And I said, Phil, what a great illustration. I said, we should plant seed. Definitely keep passing tracts out. But in your passing out, also start praying, God, I want my sister, I want my friend, just like Sandy's done here. She's focused on her family and my land. She's had two saved in the last month or so. Focus on, try to reach all, try to give everybody the gospel. But in your doing that also, but focus on one. See, great churches reach people with the resurrection. And you'll reach more people individually by focusing many times one at a time in your personal one-on-one soul winning. How many are still with me? And so what I said makes what makes a great church? The right founder, Jesus, makes the right church. The power of God makes it the right church. And a great church will have witnessing power. Bethel Baptist, if there was anything I want to be known for, is that Bethel Baptist Church, when we get to heaven, I don't know how much we're going to get accomplished, but I hope Jesus will say, you know one thing about your church, preacher? It sure had the power of God, and it had witnessing power. Those people witnessed, they testified of my resurrection. Let's go out and tell the world Jesus has risen. He's real. He's reigning at the right hand of the Father. And he is the righteous one, and he is going to return. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time we've had. And dear God, I pray with all my heart that Bethel Baptist Church would be a church that you'd say was a good church, a great church. Don't have to have a new building to be a great church. The church is not the building anyways. The church is the born-again people. We that are the body of Christ here, the local church. And Father, I pray that we would want Bethel Baptist to be a great church for God, that we would care, that we would seek your face and know you and your power, that we'd have an anointing on us. Oh God, help us to know the power of your resurrection. And then God, help us to have a burden, as the apostles in the early church did, to go out and share and witness, eyewitnesses of the resurrection of Christ. I wonder, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning, how many could say, "Preacher, I know for sure I'm saved. I know if I died, I'd go to heaven. Could you raise that hand? I know for sure." Thank you. You may put them down. By the way, if you're going to get baptized, come forward. If you've been saved, if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you come now and get baptized. We'll baptize you. Thank you. Maybe you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, and you'd like to know when you die, you'd go to heaven. There is a heaven, there is a hell, and that's why Christ Jesus came, to save every one of us. But you must be born again to enter the kingdom of God. It's not joining the church. It's not getting baptized. You get baptized because you are saved. It's knowing that you're a lost sinner and that Christ died just for you, and that you need him to be your Savior, and you say, "Lord Jesus, I'm going to trust you by faith," and you trust Christ, and you invite him into your heart to be your Savior. You could do that today, and he'll save you. And you can know when you die, you go to heaven. How many say, "Pastor, I'd like to know when I die, I'd go to heaven. Would you pray for me? I'm not sure, but I'd like to know." Pray. Anyone like that today? Just raise your hand and put it back down. I won't come to you, I won't embarrass you, but I'll pray for you. "Preacher, would you include me in that prayer? I'm really not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. And I don't want to die and go to hell. Pray for me." Anyone like that? Just raise your hand and put it back down. "Pastor, pray for me. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. Pray for me. I'd sure like to know when I die, I'd go to heaven." That's so important. Most important thing in your life is knowing that you're going to go to heaven. We had five people. Last Sunday, we had five people trust Christ as their Savior. Three people went and followed believers' baptism. Maybe here you might want to join the church. You've been saved. You've had believers' baptism. You want to join the church, whatever God's speaking to you about. You come, whatever God speaks to your heart. Maybe you just want to pray about something. Whatever God's speaking to your heart, you come. Heavenly Father, draw all men unto you. Ladies, save those that are not saved. Encourage those that are discouraged. Help us have a burden to witness of the resurrection. People need to know about the resurrected Christ. Help us to be excited. Our Savior's alive. He's real. He's returning soon. Time's running out. We must tell everyone about the resurrected Savior. Help us. Help us, Father. Help us to know the power. Help us to know the witnessing power. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand. We'll sing a verse. If you'd like to come for any reason, you come right now. Come. praying, you want to come and be saved, you come right now. People are praying, you come. Come right now, just step up. We've got men and ladies. If you're a lady, we got a lady who can show you how to be saved. If you're a man, we got men how to show you how to be saved. Whenever God would speak to your heart, you come. You just come. Come while God's speaking to your heart. You know, preacher, I'll do it later. No, you won't. People only come when God speaks to them. You know, Brother Mark, a lot of people think, well, I can get saved anytime. No, you can't. The only time, you got to hear God's word. It's the Holy Spirit that convicts. And when God calls, if you don't pick the phone up, if I can use that for an illustration, he might not call back. And a lot of times God calls people, but that's why it says, come now, why he still calls, and why there still remains a chance. You say, boy, I wish I knew. We're going to sing one more verse. If you don't know if you'd go to heaven today and you'd like to know, you come right now as we sing this last verse.